There we go. I believe it has taken us live. So hello folks. Welcome to our Wednesday stream. Unfortunately, we couldn't muster a Monday stream this week because I was traveling for work. Gotta do adult things, but there should be one next week, and there should also be a Wednesday stream next week too. This won't be a regular
Yeah.
occurrence.
Well, I can already guarantee that there'll be an article tomorrow and another one for Tuesday, as I already have those written up. So, also, good evening.
Yes, good evening, everybody. For those of you who have been following us, you'll notice there has been quite an uptick in content recently, and we're trying to maintain that. It's relatively, honestly, relatively difficult to do, but as long as we can get ourselves ahead by enough, we should be able to keep this pace up. Because honestly, we started doing two streams a week, not just because, we're trying to do two streams a week. It's because our backlog of subjects is so big. It would
We
it...
don't want to lose stuff. So if that means kind of putting things out in a shorter kind of 45-minute format, so at least have the idea out there and we can come back and expand on it another day.
Well, this will be a less scripted stream than a lot of ours are. We wanted to give you guys a little bit of a break from the constant battering of Revelation, and also, the reminder-ing almost is what we've been doing. But we want to give it a little bit of breathing space. So this will be a slightly more general stream, slightly more relaxed, but we will be talking about our usual stuff in many ways. But also doing a little bit of a catching up with you guys. Just a general, slightly more chill, slightly more comfy stream. As comfy as a stream entitled Haggling with the Boxcar Door can be. But I think that's just one of our developing mantras, which has been quite useful, which we've been developing over a while. Basically, I've started talking in mantras and like old 4chanisms
Yeah,
that also still apply.
we're basically gonna start like speaking in tongues and have a sort of a secret code word, and everything's gonna be shibboleths. And if you can't keep up and make sure that you learn it all, then I'm sorry, but there's gonna be like four people watching the stream in about 6 months' time as we basically speak in like pig Latin.
Well, one of our previous streams, we did really go over some of the what is no longer revelation is normalization, which is one of our kind of new mantras when it comes to how the news is reported. We have been kind of hammering that one a bit the past few weeks, but I think it's quite an important point for people to understand. I'm sure if you follow my media intern on Twitter, I'm not on Twitter, but my media intern runs an account
Well,
over there.
I suppose that's some news to the folk that don't know, is that you are not on Twitter, but I am.
Yes,
I have returned.
Evelyn is back.
We're
She's back,
back.
guys. Oh God, you're not even showing up.
Maybe
Oh,
it's.
that's why. But you are actually back. Yes,
Oh,
we are.
I've still got my header image. I thought they'd taken that away from
No,
me.
they've not taken your header image away from you.
Super.
There we go. Evelyn is back on the Twitters.
I just wanted a whammy
She just wanted a whammy burger. So you've actually got your original account back.
burger. We'll see how long that lasts until I call out another vaguely right-wing dissident magazine that proceeds to work with some kind of think tank.
Everyone's already forgotten who they are, which
I
is
know,
funny
yeah,
as
exactly.
hell.
Who?
Who?
Who? See, this is it. Sort of relates to, I think, one of the things that motivated some of the things we'll discuss this evening, though, is I worry that a lot of the times people do not learn lessons. And
No.
even when they do learn them, they struggle so greatly to actually apply them. And I think one of the obvious ones to me that I always consider, and I think, has underwritten so much of what we do, is that if something is in the news,
Yeah.
it's not just in the news by accident.
No.
Headlines don't just appear. It's not like there's a fire in some big house, and then somebody writes a note and then runs down to the post office and says, to the Daily Express, there's been a fire in the MacGuffin house,
Oh, the old MacGuffin place.
Yeah,
Ah.
I think some people still believe that's how like newsrooms work nowadays, but clearly it's not. There is a
No.
panel of people who are not just part of X media organization, but think tanks, nudge units, direct government bureaus, who basically sit in a big room and workshop the things that you're going to see in the news tomorrow. And then that happens continuously and continuously. And the fact that people think they can still sort of just read headlines, go no deeper than that, and get a view of what's going on in the world still pains me greatly.
It does. Before we get too far into it, though, I do want to say that we are still monetized. So if you guys want to join the channel and become a member, that's the best recurring way to support us right now. We've taken out our Streamlabs for now. It just was not working. And quite honestly, the best way to donate to us right now is just through PayPal. And it'll be immediate and they will not take, you know, hardly any cut. And I'll just get, it even comes up my phone. I don't have to deal with Streamlabs' horrendous backend, which it's showing up about as badly as YouTube does these days. So if you guys do want to help us out, that is the best way to do it currently. Because we're looking to set up an Entropy or a Stream Elements or something like that. That's a bit more of a better solution.
Not to cut you off there, but people in chat have been like, oh, so how many non-stories in the news? I don't know. I couldn't really tell you what are and aren't, or what are and aren't non-stories, but like the Nicola Bully thing, that's had nearly 2.5 weeks of constant coverage now. There's now a whole massive, like, oh, we're going to have an inquiry and the police are going to have to ask for what they've done. And any other person goes missing at any other time in the year when there isn't other certain things going on, nobody gives a shit.
Yes. That is for anyone who's been watching the UK news cycle, basically a woman going missing on a walk in the semi-countryside is something that happens in Britain probably it does happen relatively often. We don't hear about it, but it does. People just go missing. And that has become a massive news story for basically. Look at the side of Twitter right now.
Well, no, it's such a perfect example of it. I think, just for the sake of argument, something like nearly half a dozen people a day go missing in Britain.
Yes.
I think it's just under 2,000 people a year. But yeah, the Shemima Begum, eggs, groomed. It's so orchestrated.
It's so obvious as well.
The problem always seems to be, and you've started using this as another one of your mantras, extrapolate this outwards.
Yes. Think about this in other contexts. If this is true here, it will be true other places.
Wow, no! Say it so!
We're going to be going over a lot of the immigration stuff in great detail at some point. Mm. Hopefully when this has all died down and some conclusion has come to this story arc in the news.
I think that's the thing as well that people probably somewhat get out of our content is that we don't like to just jump on stuff unless we have somehow preempted it or are able to connect fully to something else. We won't talk about it because if there's nothing to learn, there's no point. You're just jerking your knees at it. And I can't be jerking my knees too much. I get sore.
The last time we did something that was mildly current affairs was about a week before the whole Ukraine thing kicked off. And to be fair, I still think we were correct in our analysis.
Mm.
It's just that reality wasn't right.
basically.
As we've seen, a decision was no good excuse me, for basically anybody, and it's been a complete mess and doesn't make any sense if you actually... if you actually want to prosecute some sort of military campaign. But as we've learned, that's really not what it was about. I'm sorry, I'm dying
here. Are you dying there? Sorry, I wasn't sure what to fill.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, I decided to completely choke on my water there. Ah, oh, dear. But yeah, it's... I don't know. We've really just started talking in almost like meme mantras. I'm sure you've seen a lot of if you're on Twitter, the suffering is the point.
Yes, which I think is one of the most important ones. I mean, and I think I did a tweet somewhere else about it that AA retweeted. The general idea that if you don't have the ability to perceive when a news piece is being constructed purely for your agitation and latterly for your humiliation, it means that you're basically never recognizing the fact that it's a power display. You know, it's the whole thing AA talks about. Power wants to be seen. That's the reason why you have these horrendous headlines day in, day out that everyone wants to react to. Because it's the perfect bait that in an inverse way makes them recognise the power disparity that they exist in.
I mean, look at this. This is a precursor to our current immigration news cycle. Exclusive, back on the streets, two members of the Rotherham grooming gang are quietly freed from jail after serving half of their 10 years terms for rape offences. It's just...
So is the MP that was involved in it. Yeah. He released the other day, and he only served half his sentence, and it's an injustice. But if there's nothing you can do about it, then it's, you know, you're just engaging in ritual humiliation. You're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah, you are basically ritually humiliating yourself, which is funny. It's the whole thing. It's you. You shouldn't really be sharing a lot of these stories unless you're trying to, you know, actually inform people. Yes, it does make an impact, people seeing these to an extent.
Mm.
But it, a lot of it really is power display. It is them going...
I think what's the Pantera album? Vulgar Display of Power?
Yes, it is. It's a vulgar display of power is what it is. And that's largely what it's about. Do you want me to get that one you put out up? Or?
Yeah, if you want.
I don't know which one it is. So for the time being, I'll put us back on the mantras page there.
I don't know if you go... Some of the other two I've had over the last week have been the free speech ones.
Well, I just want to go over some of this other stuff here.
Are you looking for the tweet?
Yes, I am.
Give it a second. I'll find it. You keep them distracted.
To put it in other terms, again, the ideology is not genuine. Mm. Is another one we talk about. Which is the fact that a lot of the cover stuff, a lot of the, you know, oh, they're woke Marxist, woke moralists. It's
the neo-Marxist, radical leftist,
yeah,
queerist, Jewishist, statist.
It doesn't, but we've talked about it so many times that ideology is post hoc. Yeah. It is a post hoc justification to power, but it's very important. Well, I'm hoping, not to name who it is, because I'm hoping he's not said yes yet, but I'm hoping to kind of go over these in proper detail with a guest that would be appropriate as well.
Mm.
But we're just kind of giving you an idea of what we've been up to, where our thoughts are, especially on the news cycle, because we don't tend to cover much of the news cycle.
The tweet.
I don't have anything up. I can...
That's what I'm going to send you on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. It's not something we keep up with, but as you view the news cycle, always remember that things that are coached in ideological terms are not genuine.
Mm.
No one within the apex of the power structure actually believes that. And it's very important that you understand that. You don't fall into the trap of thinking that any of the ideas are genuine. Because apart from like super low rung, essentially like MK Ultra victims equivalent of, you are not going to get anyone who is a true believer in, you know, the social justice stuff.
And anyone that is actually a genuinely true believer is probably some of the very few dangerous people out there.
Yes.
And they're not dangerous because they themselves have power, but they are the sort of people that power then aims at us.
It's incredibly basic news cycle stuff to say that large amounts of news are rage bait for certain demographics.
Everyone seems to forget this, though. That's what I mean by no one learns. No one takes that lesson and applies it to, you know, some other end, or uses it to create a worthwhile filter to work the crap out. It's instead, no, we've got to knee-jerk at this. We've got to, like... get angry at the libs of TikTok posts, and as you so aptly put in one of your articles a while back, you've got to bark at the headlines.
Yeah, it's like the mailman's arrived. The news is here, the mailman's arrived. You're going to bark at the newspaper and make yourself feel good.
Mm.
That's where the impulse comes from. I've often felt like the man in the wilderness saying things that no one listens to.
Mm.
But people just like reviewing BuzzFeed articles back in the day, and now, you know, still reviewing like Guardian headlines and things like that.
Yeah, it's crap from sites like Jezebel.
It's like a dog returning to eat its own vomit over and over again.
Oh, let's go read stuff from the Mary Sue.
Like, why are you deliberately exposing yourself to this? Mm.
And I think as well, that's why people have sort of more recently coined on to what we've been doing lately, which is looking at effectively our own side and critiquing that, you know, working out what it is in that that actually can be discerned out and used, either because they're lying, omitting things, or having to admit to at least some degree of something because there has been pressure somewhere else.
Yes.
But the general notion as well, as you've titled the stream, haggling with the boxcar door, I think that whole view of being on the internet and reacting to the headlines is underwritten by the idea that you are influencing some sort of pre-existing public opinion, and that by gradually having more and more people reacting to the right Guardian articles in the right way, you will shape public opinion into a position where we get elected or some nonsense like that.
It's something I, unfortunately, that a lot of them are already gone with the, I was talking about, like, with all the Daddy Elon stuff. I just go into it with, it's a lot of it as well is to do a lot of the protests, the abortion protest thing, you know, the whole, you can't pray within 5 blocks of this abortion clinic. It's stuff like that. It's people going, wow, I can't believe this is a country that we live in. I can't, but wow, guys, it's very much is, you're actually being shipped off the FEMA camps to be incinerated. Mm. Excuse me.
What if the shoe was on the other foot?
Excuse me. He's a Nazi, but I'm not. Yeah. I'm a libertarian. You can't do this to me.
Well, I think the funniest thing, I think, is the way we framed that as the inverse, which is that some of us are getting boxcarred and all the people who run the libertarian podcast will be really annoyed that they aren't getting boxcarred. No, I was a dissenter. Ah.
Well, it's like the whole, like, most people are just like, oh, well, if you were so dangerous, people would come for you. It's just like, people don't bother. That's the thing. It's just like, I remember we made a joke about the fact that there's a huge amount of people, especially on the British right, who are angling to be ministerial aides.
Mm.
They are angling to be Tories. I mean, there's probably that, I don't want to say where, but there's probably that interview with that MP we were slightly behind closed doors thing we're invited to going on right now. And quite honestly, I can't be bothered dealing. I've dealt with sitting MPs. Well, I've dealt with ministerial aides. I've dealt with people who introduce themselves as in property. It goes nowhere.
Why would the regime compromise with us? What do we even have to stake?
Yeah. That's the whole thing. And a lot of the people who are, like, bottom rung, you want to be Douglas Murray types. You want to be Darren Grimes types. The people I refer to as the Bullingdon Club rent boys.
You're welcome for that one.
Those people are, they are waiting to be shown the pig. If you remember the whole David Cameron thing. Just like, When do I get beaten?
You
in?
Don't even get second helpings of fucking Jeremy salad.
Oh no,
Jeremy Hunt's salad toss.
Yeah, they're waiting for the blackmail material so they can be part of the club. You know, they're essentially waiting to touch the kids, and to be brought into like the managerial machine, and they don't even get in the same room as the pig.
Nah,
it's like you don't get to hunt. That was David Camp. You know, he outranks you in the Tory party. That pig does.
But this is the thing as well, as another one of those lessons that nobody seemed to learn. I mean, we all watched the Epstein thing happen.
Yeah.
We all basically witnessed elements of the media admit components of like the Mossad blackmail ring that he was connected to, and then everyone still seems to not apply this kind of filter when, you know, oh, well, this MP or this leader or this person's done this, that, or the next thing. So, well, what if there's blackmail evidence of them doing really heinous things? Maybe that's a better and more rational explanation for what they're doing than they actually believe in wokeness.
That's the whole thing. You know, if you're on social media, you are inside their weapon, which is kind of something I stole from Samuel Gogg, but it's a similar sentiment shared.
It's not even that you are inside the weapon. You are part of the weapon. You're part of the constant narrative management machine.
I look forward to seeing, oh, don't mean that, Prime Minister Tom Harwood. You see, if we ground the immigrants into a fine dehydrated powder and covered every inch of Britain, it wouldn't be full, would it? On that sentiment there, you don't need more people, you need better people.
Yes.
That is an extremely big one, and as many people who have read The Carpet Salesman's Populist Delusion, a lot of people just don't understand that.
Yeah.
They don't understand the fact that if you have, you know, if you are the organized minority, you don't need more people.
Yeah. Well, this is the, I should have one of the things coming out on Substack on Thursday will be on that exact, not the one on Thursday, the one on Tuesday will be almost on that exact subject, because I'm putting forward the idea that, you know, you've red-pilled all the masses. What do you do with them?
Yeah.
You know, if you aren't the people that are guiding the red-pilled mass around, then someone else is. And as you say, you know, you've got to be the 100 that move millions, otherwise you just be part of the millions that get moved around by somebody else.
Yes.
You know, there has to be coordinated, organized action through series of people engaging on all sorts of fronts, and that requires people who are better, not just like people on Twitter who've got wee juice box things in their accounts and talk about like what's the anagram everyone's been seeing recently, TND.
Oh dear me. It's a real point that people do not understand, though, that, and we'll go over it as well when we talk about your stop demanding free speech piece, because it fits in absolutely perfectly with the stuff that we've been seeing with the migrant protests, really.
Yeah.
It fits in, it's complete, you know, mesh with it. And there's so much stuff that elucidates. But to the other point here, no one is coming to save you. You will have to save your, as we said, it's be a lighter stream, good lord. But that's another good point, is that the Elon stuff, people didn't really learn from that.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Yeah, no, that was genuinely one of the most embarrassing episodes I have witnessed. I think to some extent the Elon stuff was even worse than Q, I think, because there was more of a known quantity about that man prior to that period. Like, no one had a clue to any extent what was actually going on with the Q stuff. There was so many levels of deception that you could at least understand why people are like, well, let's see what's going on here, you know. There's got to be some element of some kind of thing happening. It all turned out to be a big psyop anyway, because they were the people moving the red-pilled mass, because none of us took up the bloody reins.
Well, that's the whole point, in that people are saying, so how do we organise then? You organise amongst yourselves. You actually get... You organise in a qualitative, not quantitative fashion, is what you do. Just vote harder. And of course, there is no electoral solution. That's a very old one. I just threw that in there for completeness.
Anyone who advocated for any kind of vaccine mandate or passport is your enemy.
Don't forget those people.
Absolutely no ground can be given on that issue whatsoever. Yeah. There can be no compromise with someone who, even for a moment, thought there was legitimacy to lockdown or any other part of that entire managerial scheme.
Again, people who still believe the myths of history, Alice, civil rights era, will inevitably view you as an enemy after a common sense issue evaporates. This is even true of the ostensibly super anti-immigrant people who believe in civil rights style protest.
Yeah.
The anti-immigrant baz will still not want you to say that Winston Churchill was a tool of international money and ruined Britain.
Yeah. Nor would he accept a world without things like the NHS.
Yeah.
Or as much as he maybe protests against some forms of immigration, I think if you were to explain to him the fact that there's no more Chinese food, there's no more Indian food, and no more cheap, you know, labour, things have to become, you know, it's the irony of all the... we locally source everything but the labour.
Yes. Again, we've been using this one forever. I even used to use this one to some people's great chagrin when I did, way back when I did Seal of Approval. Mm-hmm. If people remember that.
I was there for some of those.
I know. I mean, then just some of our viewers may not even be aware of that.
But there is a funny thing, though, because there are the OGs who know. We went on a seal of approval about 2 years ago and basically laid all out the Woke's going back in the bottle, there'll be a full right shift, Tony Blair will show up and put a cap on immigration. And we've just, ever since then, things have basically just played out exactly as that. But a few people ask,
but Rosa Donaldson, okay, she's on Twitter, she tweets occasionally pictures of her cat and stuff. She's just not doing content, she's doing like life stuff, so Rosa Dawn seems fine. A lot of people keep concerned, but she's just on Twitter posting quite happily. So from what I can discern, she's doing okay. So yeah, people shouldn't worry.
You've got a point here. Gatekeep, like your life depends on it, because it does. Yeah. That is another fundamental rule of power.
Yes.
If your organization does not explicitly grow, maintain its own power, and become more technically proficient over time, it becomes, you know, no longer an ascendant and sort of primary ruling force. It will eventually become the subsidiary of some other force that is willing to, you know, gatekeep.
Yes.
Is willing to purge people out of its movement.
Again, that's part of the better people, not more people.
Yes.
It does interlock. We talked about the ritual humiliation. We always talk about ritual humiliation. Large parts of the news cycle you will view on something like Crowder or any of those talking head conservative grift shows is you essentially being spoon-fed the regime's own ritual humiliation stuff.
Mm.
Pointing out the hypocrisy does nothing. Self-explanatory, pointing out the hypocrisy in the news does functionally nothing.
Yeah, the levers of power lead nowhere, which is the futility of reform and incrementalism, which just does not work for us because we do not have the entire sort of dead weight of the machine bearing down on top of us.
See, I've been talking a lot today, so my voice is a bit sore, so I can like drop an octave lower. I generally try to like not be too rumbly in my voice.
You just get your voice as deep as possible. It makes mine sound better.
Okay. The levers of power lead nowhere. I go into my radio voice here. Now, people don't realize that I genuinely actually talk in a deliberately in a higher register because this is a bit monotone. But I can vary my voice quite heavily, which freaks some people out sometimes. But I do sometimes have a slight kind of softer broadcast voice there. But it's
And then you've got the next one here, which is sort of like the corollary of anarcho-tyranny.
Yeah,
which is that any sort of universally consistent application of the rule of law isn't just, I think, illusory. I think it is impossible for any political authority to do that.
Yes.
You know, as someone is saying in the chat, you have to punish enemies, you must reward friends.
It's the only way.
Even when enemies do things that aren't, you know, ostensibly attacking you, you still need to punish them.
Yes.
And even when your friends on odd occasions do things that maybe aren't the wisest, you need to be seen to be rewarding that.
This is
not
why,
because what they are doing is right, but because they are the right people.
This is why politicians who shit the bed and destroy their own careers end up with extremely cushy NGO jobs. They are being pensioned out for their service.
Well, that's why, what is it, big Jacinda Ardern from New Zealand's now got some fancy job at the UN lined up for her.
People are pointing out, sidebar here on Twitter, doing heavy lists and everything. Shemima Bingham and Groom, they're still there. Quality Act is there.
Yeah.
Tesco and Aldi trending with Asda because there's no more eggs or vegetables.
No, that's... Don't get me onto that. We'll be paying fucking a fiver for a dozen eggs for the years, you dirty bastards.
Here we go. You can't reason with the boxcar door. A lot of people didn't. I think the boxcar door thing is kind of something we've not elaborated on.
Well, I think the idea originally came from people bickering whether or not they wanted to sit at the front or the back of the boxcar.
Oh, yeah. Rosa Parks just made it so that black people don't have to sit at the back of the boxcar anymore.
Yeah.
You're all going to the same place.
Yeah, if you get loads and loads of good boy points, you might get a window seat.
Like having better ideas is meaningless, is just our normal anti-marketplace of idea posting. But that's just, again, there's more of them. There's more of them we talk about. There's the normalization revelation stuff we talked about earlier. But thinking in these terms and like rigidly thinking in these terms. Like people are just, oh no, you can't be dogmatic. Yes, you can.
You have to be.
You have to be dogmatic. Otherwise, you will be led down horrendous distraction rabbit holes and you will never get anything done.
Well, there was a great one, obviously, for those aware, we were on Unpopular Opinions on Friday.
Yes.
And we discussed, you know, some of these people that are now, you know, these anti-woke candidates that are part of the SNP's new leadership or whatever nonsense is going on. One of the women's Kate Forbes. And there was like a tweet from some other MSP talking about how, well, we understand Kate Forbes' position of Christianity. And how tradition and values and some other thing were, you know, important, and that's part of the Scottish identity. And I just sort of like quote tweeted them, be like, yes, you know, tradition, moral values, faith are all anti-liberal in form. You cannot have, you know, a liberal version of religion or a liberal version of tradition or a liberal version of moral values, because then they become worthless. And what happens is liberalism and pluralism takes the supreme position over the rest of them. And it's, you know, it's that sort of perfect kind of like Marcuse or Popper kind of thing of always making sure that it's a pluralist version of religion. It's a pluralist version of tradition, i.e. one that you don't control, that's entirely subjective. And we will do as we do with as we please because we're the people in power.
Well, there's the one that's the most recent example. The other one I use as well is the Iraq War protest, which we'll probably go into again in great detail because I've got a whole bunch of stuff about the Iraq War polling and how it shows us how political amnesia works. It's a great case study. But another one recently again is hard power versus soft power in the, you know, the Freedom Trucker convoy protest. Where is that now? Where are they now? It completely failed. And the utter failure of the Canadian truck protest has been expunged from memory when there is talk of holding tyranny to account in civil rights, in a civil rights sense. Use of hard power to crush the soft power of protest is a clear sign there can be no anti-regime civil rights movements.
No.
And there's the whole thing that, you know, Trudeau vows to freeze anti-mandate protesters' bank accounts. They didn't even go whole hog. They didn't even need to go and get these people. They just froze their bank accounts for a couple of weeks and the whole thing folded.
Oh no, I can't make my mortgage payments.
Yeah.
The entire movement folds. And then people wonder why we are always hitting home on the fact that you cannot be like, you know, as sort of AA sort of been saying in a similar vein, you cannot be this kind of like wholesome Chungus family man with like a mortgage, car payments, and three kids, and also a dissident, because the government just comes and freezes your bank account, makes your credit score zero, and moves you out of your home and takes your kids away from you.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're genuinely sort of full of the vigor of those that defend the holy mountain or something like that, it's not. You've not got that in you, I'm afraid. You are a weak sort of Western. You have to engage in subterfuge and subversion, at least for the time being. This idea that we can, or not we can, but other people who have really other priorities in life can then become committed activists or dissidents. It's just totally laughable and comes right down to the idea that, you know, democracy and civil rights allows them inherently to have some sort of opinion that they can weigh on society. No, you can't. I'm sorry, but you've burdened yourself with all these things that means that that's not what you do anymore.
Well, we'll be tackling the immigration stuff through less kind of current events things. So I'll go through this pretty quick because I basically just put forward some questions that should trouble people.
Yeah.
I also talk about, you know, I've talked about previously the fact that in-person protest is just a way really for you to get picked off by the police.
Yeah.
Do not organise protests. Well, that was the, not go to protests.
I think I put a tweet out that you were quote tweeting here, which is something to the effect of, why is it that these ostensibly well-meaning nationalist and patriotic movements are engaging in protests without the wherewithal or legal support behind the protesters?
Yes.
They are taking young men full of potential and basically throwing them into the arms of the police and prevent.
It's something that, again, doesn't really get talked about, but Here's the other one. Here's the precursor to this. But I just said, I don't think I need to tell people here not to engage in street action. We don't have the NGO with infinite money and an army of lawyers ready to get you bailed out. Allah just stop oil. Physical protests and subsequent arrests are how members become coerced into being informants.
Mm.
And then I think this started my ominous trend of just putting in
extrapolate
brackets.
Extrapolate this out.
Let me say that again, okay? I don't think I need to tell people not to engage in street action. Physical protests and subsequent arrests are how members become coerced into being informants. Extrapolate this outwards. I don't think I even really need to say anymore, but I will. It's a whole point of, again, boxcar door haggling. You're walking around with a sign and you're thinking that's going to empty the migrant hotels. It's not. This has been going on for decades. It's been going on since the early Blair era. So people keep putting out stuff that they've got from 2004 and 5 from The Economist,
mm-hmm.
basically saying, look, guys, we're going to have, like, they even put it in, like, demographic problem terms. Things that would be unthinkable now.
Yep.
Was extremely mainstream back then. People would just think that this wasn't talked about. It was talked about at great length. And we were assured it stopped happening. And then it just kept happening in the background.
Yep.
And it actually seems that the times where it breaks cover the most are the times when it's happening the hardest.
Mm.
And it will happen the hardest.
Yes.
It's a weird thing that the more backlash you see about immigration, the more immigration there will be afterwards. Almost exactly. But it's just a point of, like, we don't know who's organizing these things. They seem to be announced in the media well ahead of time, which attracts counter-protest.
That you would think, wouldn't you? You know, we've already looked at some news stories outside of some of the research we've been doing, and people seem to be suggesting that these are all being run on Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got an account on Facebook, you can be found.
So if someone, very easily.
If someone with a Facebook account, even if these groups are private, I am, and this is another side of the coin as well, you know, juxtapose this stuff with, like, the LGBT police nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, we can't arrest people, we can't lock people up, we've got terrible 4-foot-tall female officers who can't pull anyone down. Actually, no. The police force is much more competent than they let on.
Yes.
Especially in realms where they've been acting for decades, things like the Special Demonstration Squad. The fact that they haven't even had to push the public order bill through, they've just used the pre-existing antisocial behaviour order laws to just enact it anyway and do as they please.
Here's something that we probably shouldn't talk about, but needs to talk. Do you know that every train station in Britain has an armoury?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that you see police vans parked outside of train stations is because those are full of 4 or 5 guys who work in shifts. And they come out and they come back in, and those guys are the guys who, you know, who will use the armory. If you ever go anywhere near Parliament, you'll see literally 7 or 8 go vans that are full of possibly 10, like, tactical officers.
Yeah.
Who are armed to the teeth. You see them come out and take a piss sometimes.
You can tell as well that people don't, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm some sort of experienced protester or anything like that. I went to a couple of the anti-lockdown ones in Scotland in 2020 and 2021. Yeah. There was a strong show of force. And it wasn't just these fat, middle-aged women coppers.
No.
You know, there was maybe a group of us, 150, 200 outside Holyrood. There was at least half of that number. And sturdy-looking police officers with hard, you know, soled shoes.
We have covered the policing bills, and we've covered a lot of the laws that now govern protest. It is basically impossible to protest without a permit, because they will just class it as a march.
Yeah.
It's very, very loose legal definition. I'll go into it here, but you have to have a permit. If they don't have a permit, they talk about the fact that it's being promoted by certain groups, but no one seems to quite know who's planning all of this.
Yeah.
If they are permitted, information.
No,
isn't,
we forgot.
Yeah.
These protests, they're spontaneous.
Yes.
They're emergent.
Well,
there is no leader.
Oh, the whole point is that, yeah, if these protests aren't permitted, then existing antisocial behaviour orders will scupper basically everyone who attends. Do not forget that the police employ facial recognition. They will not tell you that they do, But they do.
Yeah, well, that's what the vans get parked up for. They're all full of bloody cameras.
They're all surveillance vans. Yeah. And they do use facial recognition. They've been they very publicly pilot schemed it that one. That famous time where that, you know, oh, man gets fined for hiding his face.
They used to have it in Stirling.
Yeah.
They were doing like the trial stuff. They would park it up right in one of the main bits in the city centre, and it would have all these like sort of Perspex panels with a camera lens through. It basically said, you know, like facial recognition scheme, you know, a surveillance van and stuff like that.
Yeah. Protest in different areas at the same time is very rarely truly spontaneous. I'd say probably never. But in the event that these really are just local people saying they've had enough, wouldn't having outside organizations there known to police and media risk both discrediting and endangering them?
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a terrible idea.
And remember at the same time as well, because the rule of law is a myth, there exists the Covert Human Intelligence Sources Bill,
yes,
which allows people acting on behalf of the police or on behalf of private security like GCHQ to act in ways that are outright illegal. They're allowed to lie, you know, pretend that they're fraudulently pretend they're someone else or have some other name or identity, and they can do all of it without being caught or even questioned or even have to, you know, justify committing crimes because they were after you, the criminal, of course.
Well, there's the point here that no one can answer the very basic questions. Who is organising these protests? What other organisations are attending? What is the legal framework for this protest permitting? Because you have to have one now.
Mm.
Will there be a counter-protest? Who is planning the counter-protest? It's extremely like normal things like that, that people who wade headlong into these essentially legal meat grinders are done. Because nobody, again, all the leaks we talked about with Prevent and all of that, nobody talked about protests really in there. There was very little in there about people who were put on Prevent programs because of protests, because that's seen as normal procedure. But anyway, there's the stuff you talked about there, the stuff I talked about here. There's one more thing I want to talk about, which is, I don't know who Matt Goodwin is. I think he's from Unheard.
Yes.
You know, the chemsex hag feminism Unheard.
Transmaxing manifesto Unheard.
God, such a joke. It's almost like I feel, you know, a Curtis Yarvin's tablet. No. Tablet's Curtis Yarvin.
Tablet, yeah.
Tablet magazine. Tablet magazine. Oh, man, that's a whole... Not that we are hating on the Moldbug himself, because I actually do find Moldbug relatively interesting.
No, I mean, of course, we do love the nation of Israel.
We do love the nation of Israel, and the glorious Weiner slash King Charles Spaniel,
yes.
who was Mencius Moldbug, who was, to be fair, who was great fun in person. But, yeah, public order does not matter, and public opinion, sorry, doesn't matter, never has. There's a great video, one of AA's best videos, just called Public Opinion Does Not Matter.
Mm.
And it's great. But Unheard will never tell you that you are subject to this by those in power until you force them to stop humiliating you. You can't vote the migrants away. You can't civil rights style protest them away. I cannot stress to you enough how much of a mind's death reverting to the myths of civil rights era of popular will are. I see it over and over. People keep going back to it like a dog returning to its own vomit. Again, this is the boxcar door haggling I'm talking about. They're just like, well, there's great electoral potential here for people who don't believe in immigration, and we have, you know, there's this united popular front of people who don't want the immigrant. It doesn't matter. You are haggling with the boxcar door in that case. You are not going to get anywhere within the process, and especially with protests.
Yes. Thank you to Anthony Keane for becoming a member as well.
Thank you for becoming a Venus Bro. Yes. What? I like our tiers. We've got Hat Tippers, we've got Venus Bros.
Ben, you know. 15.
Yes. but thank you. That is a good way to support us. And I will remind people that we have the PayPal link above for anyone who wants to donate to us directly. And I will make sure to read anything that we've got, because I'm sure we've probably missed some on the back end here.
Before we maybe have a quick peruse through some of the recent stuff I've put in the Substack as well, shall we let it be known, since there's a decent number of people here, that the next Nomos event will be on the 27th and the 28th of May.
No, it won't.
Manchester. Yeah.
I'm trying to... of course. The 26th and 27th, sorry.
Sorry, 26th, 27th.
Yeah, it will be at the end of May, and it will be in Manchester for any of you who want to book in there. I'll be announcing that officially early next week, if not over the weekend.
Yeah, we're basically hoping to have tickets up before the month's out.
Yes, we are hoping to have...
Someone's asking about a theme there. We don't so much have a theme, but we are working with a certain...
partner.
Certain, shall we? A certain partner that's a certain organisation that studies economics from a, I don't know, Vienna.
we can't quite announce it yet because all the stuff isn't in place. But we'll be, we might be doing it in conjunction with another organisation who is quite well established. So that's quite exciting. We have another $10 donation here from Matthew Ivy. Thank you, Matthew, saying, unrelated, but I joined your Discord. Why does it seem to be made up of half AA fans and a bunch of midwit traps, Sitch and Adam fans, a bunch of which don't even watch you? It's the most skits. Well, the thing is, it's self-balancing.
I shan't comment.
It's a holdover, really. And it kind of has its own culture. I will say the Discord, I would join the Telegram if you want to engage with stuff that's more like our content. The Discord is a legacy Discord, but it has a lot of, I don't know, there's tabletop content in there, there's gaming content in there. If you guys want to, you know, talk about non-political stuff, it's not actually that political of a Discord, to be honest. Or you can just have it as read-only and use the news and update section to keep track of the stuff we do.
Yeah,
I am occasionally in there, but I'll just say hello. If you at me, I will see it, but I've never had much trouble with it, so I've never, you know, seen that. I don't want to purge it. And there's a lot of people there who are, like I said, I don't really mind if they're not particularly interested in our content and just want to talk to people there. That's fine to have like a social environment. I've always been quite fond of my Discord, despite it being a bit of a silly place. But that's just Discord for you. Discord is not serious business, and I would never treat it like serious business. That is why it is as it is. But thank you for the donation there.
Yeah, they're the children Scrump can't let go of, but is also deeply ashamed of. I heard that laugh. You can't retort that.
Anyway, another part of what we've been doing really is the Substack.
Yes.
We've been putting out a lot more written content. In fact, if you look here, since the beginning of February, the end of January here, we put out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pieces in the last month.
By next Tuesday, that'll be 8.
Yes. So we have had quite a lot of written content going on. Part of the kind of boxcar door haggling stuff that we talked about is your slightly controversial to some people, I guess, Stop Demanding Free Speech.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's one of the, we've talked about before, the almost transcendent experience of cleaving yourself from the liberal frame.
Yeah.
And one of the most full ones of those, I think, is understanding that free speech is a total and utter myth, and that it couldn't be anything else. I mean, we could maybe just go to like the first paragraph I've got here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be clear to us all by now that free speech is a myth, and an effective political one at that. Given that political disputes are unlikely to occur in a vacuum, there will always be some level of social enmity between the groups that are demanding free speech and those that are deemed to be the oppressors. These oppressors would logically following within society have some position of power, either directly held or in clientship to some larger power. We can view this dynamic in the high, middle, low model of the juvenile, the low being the group demanding the right of free expression, the middle being the oppressing group, and the high being the entity in power that oversees all the others. And I go on to use the example of the very famous Berkeley free speech riots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The 1960s, you know, Berkeley, within the Boomer Truth regime, Berkeley, they're the left of the good guys at this point in the story. Certain people unironically tell you that, you know, the Democrats used to be the good guys and then they lost their minds in the woke era.
Yeah, but it was always their claim to have speech.
yes,
over someone else's. And I think, I don't know, maybe you want to go into the second piece that I wrote that was connected.
We should
to
be
this.
Able to talk to each other on the boxcar.
Yeah.
we all have free speech in the boxcar.
But I went on in the latter piece called The Internet and Its Consequences to further...
Can we just appreciate the cover image I made for that, though? I'm quite happy with that. I managed to wheel out the... We don't talk about him that often, but there's the rare visual Movie Bob reference there.
Yes.
I like to treat him like Bigfoot.
Bob eugenics.
You leave him in his natural environment, okay? You don't talk about him too much. You don't poke him. You know, it's like old Chris Chan, you know? You leave him in like a... A Mountain Dew chicken nature reserve.
Oh no! Don't.
And he's out there in the woods in his Mario outfit next to the 5G tower.
Hmm. But in the continuing piece here, I can't remember exactly where the line is, but I talk about the distinction between speech. There we go. It's just the first paragraph here. I believe the internet and more generally social media provides us a glimpse of what such an approach to speech, this being total and unlimited free speech, would look like, and consequently what expression may look like. As an aside from here on, expression is to be taken as a use of speech with explicit political goals in mind. This is of course a broad definition, but the distinction around explicit goals and the more abstract uses of speech invoking virtues or the need to be part of the crowd. One could further suggest that speech is for the masses, the disorganized. Expression is for the organized, the vanguard, the party, the agitators. So when, groups of students go out in Berkeley in 1916, yeah, like, free speech, free speech. They don't want just speech. They want to turn their speech into organized expression at the behest of the existing, more conservative and traditionally minded people that were the sort of helm of American universities at the time. Which even, we have no great sympathy for 60s California, university deans or anything. Those people were probably terrible too. But the point still stands.
Yes.
And especially as well, this distinction between speech and expression. The vast majority of what people want to do online is speech that goes nowhere. The reason why a leftist's sort of free speech is more effective than yours is not just because they are allowed to say more, but the stuff they say is more easily organized into other goal.
There's some great, I don't know how valid they are, but there are some great informational studies that most of the noise on Facebook, the low noise, is conservative. Mm. The Facebook is actually a deeply conservative place in terms of the majority of its posts. But the posts that hold sway and the posts that, take root and that are shared are not those. Well, they are the high posts.
That's the paragraph here. The speech of the unorganized group, and for that matter, the mass, is worse than speech. It is noise. It carries with it negative social effects. A conversation you don't want to hear on the phone, hang up. Terrible chat at the pub, go to the next one. Crap music on the radio, change the channel. Woke adverts on the TV, turn it off. But what if all the cell phones were scams? What if every pub's boring and dead? And what if no end of channel surfing gets you good music? I could go on. It is already hard enough today to avoid noise, to avoid the unorganised waffle of the masses and seek organised speech or silence when it suits. To be able to actually orchestrate, non-leftist speech into a form of workable expression is actually the challenge. Yes. We are all sitting trying to conquer day in, day out doing this stuff, and no one seems to want to address it.
Well, there's basically one here that interlocks with it that I wrote. It's the latest piece that came out yesterday.
Yes.
This is the one from yesterday. I believe it just got shown in the community post on this channel here. But this is the one that I just entitled Armchair Generals. And I'm quite proud of the cover image there because it took me ages to get those to pop out correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... So someone in chat was just saying, do we have Super Mario 3 in the boxcar? I'm afraid we'll have to vote on what video games there will be in the boxcar.
And if you all vote nicely and vote for the right game the first time, you'll get an extra 10 minutes in the ball pit.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a bit here where I basically just talk about the old internet concept that you're talking about in more technical terms. But really what you're talking about is the empty noise of the mass that adds up to nothing. is the old adage well, that...
That's what I'm saying. I think it's actually, it's worse
yeah.
than nothing. It's negative. It's actually, you know, if you are someone with eyes for seeing and ears for hearing,
yeah.
it's torturous.
It's the old, you know, posting on 4chan is pissing in the sea of piss.
Mm.
And that's what posting on Twitter is. That's what being on social media is.
Just seize power and take the NES for yourself. You can't say that. That's reactionary. We'll get the ADL on you for trying to steal it.
Mum says it's mine.
Yeah, aye.
But no, it's the old concept of pissing in the sea of piss. It was a common mantra on the board in 2007 as the volume of online interaction goes up. The value of each interaction goes down. The sea of piss is ever growing. And you're only one dick. It's going to be Team America there. But it's true.
Mm.
As bad as the internet was in like pre-smartphone, like 2006, 2007, you know, if anyone was there, as bad as B was, like imagine if the entire internet was B and there was a billion people on the board at all times. That's what we live in now. And like that's kind of why I hate a lot of the internet and why I kind of cordon myself off and interact as I do. It's just, like you said, it's the internet and its consequences.
A disaster for the human race.
They have been, yes. Most definitely. I'm trying to think if there's anything else here, really. I did a quick piece about the fact that the US military spending is just like a permanent subsidy. But that's kind of obvious. To be honest, there's your piece here, The Conservative Given, which is about the fact that they will never actually get rid of the conservatives. It's kind of a precursor to a stream I eventually want to do about Reagan and Thatcher in the 80s.
Well, I think it's an important point as well, though. It comes back round to the sort of conversation on, as you put right at the start of the head in there, on the subject of masculinity, four trads and child rearing.
Yeah.
This sort of notion that you grow up, and I think it's very much more an American concept than it is British. It still yeah. happens here. We're just not as open about it.
I'm going to say a phrase I usually try not to say, which is, when we eventually get round to the post-democratization stuff, we have to do something about the fact that the 50s was actually the most paused decade.
Mm.
And a lot of people go, ooh. But no, the 1950s, like 1949 through to about like 62, was the most paused time in American history.
Mm.
And it's because people's minds were subsumed in like the ultimate integration. It's what you refer to as like Faustian space nonsense.
Yes.
All these Americans were high on GI Bill money. They all thought they were going to live in colonies on the moon. They all thought they were going to drive, you know, jet-powered rocket cars and you know, work 3 hours a week at a factory that manufactures diamonds out of air.
Actually, instead, you push papers at Northrop Grumman or whatever for like 60 hours a week to barely make the payments on your car that you need to commute and the house you live in and funds that you're saving up for your two children to go to university so they can go and become shaven-headed Trotskyists that engage in, I don't know, like queer botany or some shit like that.
Yeah, the 1950s was the ultimate materialist decade. It is the ultimate, in many ways, rationalist decade. It is the decade of material empiricism to the extreme.
Yes.
It is the worship of science. It is the worship of like the fallen domesticated man.
It's such an, again, it's a point people don't think about in terms of the regime. The regime still requires competency.
Yes.
That's why it creates this conservative culture. You know, your Matt Walsh's and Ben Shapiro and Nolan Knowles and all these people who are like, oh, go get married, have kids, work for 50 years. Because they still need people like you to go and be a cog in the machine and provide value and actually, like, carry out real work. Like, an element of real work still has to be done, otherwise the whole regime falls apart.
Yes.
The fact that there are people who can be brickies, there are people who are engineers or, you know, plumbers or, you know, oh, they all make so much money, blah, blah, blah. Yes, but these people are still, for the most part, subservient to some larger company they work for. Most of what they do is based on, you know, not making payments through savings, but making payments through credit plans. So they're constantly beholden. They aren't liberated people. They are slaves.
They're technically minded dinos.
Mm.
It's worse than that. They don't push papers anymore. What they do is they spend 2 hours trying to get their Microsoft authenticator to work so they can log into Office 365.
Mm. Someone saying there, I don't want to maintain the complex system so the regime can keep going. Exactly. Yet, for some reason, American conservative culture seems to be entirely about making sure the regime doesn't collapse.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate rearguard action.
It's the whole point that we've talked about and hinted at about, you know, the false end of the post-war consensus in the 1980s, which is the fact that all they do is they go in, they tweak the dials 2-3% here, they make the machine slightly more efficient, and they just tell everyone different things. They tell everyone things are different when they're not. And it's amazing. That's why I've always described Reagan as a confidence man, because he was. He didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the propaganda shifted, and so the perception shifted. It's quite an amazing thing to look at. If you don't read the Holy Mountain piece, a lot of people liked it. It was actually better received than I thought. I thought it was going to be quite a challenging one. But that's enough advert. And obviously, I keep reposting this because it just keeps getting more relevant. And as Tim Pool becomes more insufferable and more people realize that, the thumbnail gets funnier. It's also one of my better shoots. You know, it's a good un, folks. I'm quite proud of it. So he fits perfectly into the nerd crew.
I've just noticed how bad the slope is on the shoulders there. That is some bad posture.
That's deliberately bad. No. It's the nerd. He's sat like that. He is.
That's fitting for Tim Pool, though.
Tim Pool via Red Letter Media.
Yeah, someone else. The appearance of results are more important than the results themselves.
That's what I keep. It's like, look, they can just tell you.
Yeah. I mean,
like, it's how, the whole chat. Well, how like, many Ukraine's
people,
not real.
Yeah. How many people like from our sphere? If the government came out tomorrow and said, "No more immigrants," but just kept bringing them in anyway, how long would it take them to begin to get to the point of, like, oh, maybe they are lying about being right-wing and they're not going to do anything about the immigrants?
That's happened about six times.
I know, but there's this constant cycle of doing that on every other issue.
There's this guy, he was called David Cameron.
Oh, no!
There was this event, it was called Brexit.
Nah, right, you mentioned David Cameron, we're done.
Wait, are you pulling the David Cameron alarm? I'm gonna have to make that actually the David Cameron alarm. That's gonna be our new thing. It's gonna be the David Cameron alarm. For those who haven't seen it though, we do still have our bits and pieces that we use. We'll have some more New Britain at some point. There'll be some more Glow Watch. I believe this probably counts as we're on almost permanent collapse watch now because there's no eggs, no veg.
Bleep bleep bleep.
God help Kwasi
Kwarteng's face.
Kwasi Kwarteng has gone forward in time and stolen your egg salad from his 2 weeks as the Chancellor.
Kwasi!
There's a great bit in the thick of it where Malcolm Tucker's like, "Well, I've got too much dirt on you. I've got your party chairman at the Christmas party going blacking up and going, hello there, I am the Chancellor of the Exchequer." And that's all I can think of. That's all I can think of when
hello.
I saw Kwasi Kwarteng.
Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. I am the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Funny George and diggity 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 Dwango.
Dearie me. Sorry, that is definitely a sign that we are done, though. Pulling the Cameron alarm. extreme Britishisms.
I don't know. Well, I hope people have enjoyed our slightly more loosely thrown together stream this evening.
I'll double check. I've not missed any donations and questions, but thank you to everybody who donated. Thank you to people who joined. That is helpful. Like I said, we will be getting like an entropy up and running at some point.
Mm.
Do like the stream. Yes. Do subscribe. All that good stuff.
Go and interact with the stuff on your 4-hour stream. Woo!
No, no, no.
Go and interact with the stuff on the Substack and keep your eyes peeled. We'll have hopefully a more sort of focused stream for Monday.
Yeah, we just thought we'd give you something a little bit lighter, a little bit less kind of rigid in format. I know it always ends up being like a you'll have to save yourselves kind of rhetoric, but honestly, but like, that's just
it's just true.
It's just, I'm sorry that reality is so grim. We'll try and sugarcoat it a bit more so you don't feel so depressed. No, it's honestly, things are not as dire as they appear in some places.
It's the opposite of like the Adam Savage from Mythbusters thing of like, I reject your reality and substitute my own. It's, I deny your reality and force mine upon you.
Bobby P, I had explained why not stream on Monday. I was traveling.
You were the extremely busy.
I was the extremely busy. I was traveling for work. So we do actually, you know, well, I have a real job. You don't have a real job because the government's got you on some kind of watch list, probably. But
every job I go for gets filled with people fresh off the boat. I'm thinking about taking a dinghy into my next job interview.
Anyway, thank you guys for coming. We like to keep these, you know, watchable as a VOD. So also, we just don't have infinite time. But thank you guys for coming and have a good night.
Neither do they.
No, yeah, again, neither do you. We respect our time. We respect your time. And we're not going to.
But most importantly, we respect ours.
Yes. There we go. End of stream.